up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Again, we are just a few weeks of preseason football before we get ready for the regular season. What team this offseason drew so much fun and attention? Well, the Cleveland Browns, right? The Cleveland Browns are going to be on everybody's radar because last year they had Baker Mayfield and he performed above expectations, and they actually won more games than we thought they would. They were in a lot of games than we thought they would. They add Odell Beckham Jr. They've got Jarvis Landry. They've got Nick Chubb. Kareem Hunt is going to join that team when he gets back back reinstated. All of that makes the Browns a very, very fun team. At the Indians game, Baker Mayfield was seen on the video chugging a beer. Now, that seems to be the new trend with quarterbacks, right? Get him on video, and now they're chugging beers. But listen, in the Mayfield situation, here's the difference, right? All these other guys, they were at games, right? Patrick Mahomes was at a game for the St. Louis Blues, and some of these guys were just, you know, Aaron Rodgers was at an NBA game for the Milwaukee Bucks. And again, Mayfield was just at an Indians game. But think about this. This is one of the few times that we've ever had with the Cleveland Browns where there is some energy and excitement and fun and just a sense of real city pride for a team that really has always had it, but just never really had anything to back it up. I mean, Cleveland is a football town, and the Browns in the 80s were a really good football team that did not make the Super Bowl and had opportunities to make the Super Bowls. You know about the drive and you know about the fumble. But now there's this feeling like there's high expectations. This is something to enjoy. This is something to watch. And you watch that Baker Mayfield video and you realize what is going on in the city of Cleveland. It's not business as usual like other cities are going through, right? New England, Pittsburgh, right? The Rams will probably go through that too. Some other cities where the team is expected to do good things. There's high expectations, etc. They better do good things. In Cleveland, this is a fun-looking football team that looks like they're going to have a good time. We'll see what the end result is going to be, but just watching that video, you realize, man, there is something going on with this Browns team that we haven't had in 20 years since they came back to the league in 99. I found it a little refreshing, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. We are continuing our NFL previews this week. It is the AFC North. Today will be the Baltimore Ravens. I'm kind of looking forward to getting to the Cleveland part of the week just to talk about, break down all the feelings and emotions. Forget the X's and O's of what that city is going through with a team that's like, oh my God, wow, we might actually win something. People actually like us to do something. One winning season in 20 years. One playoff berth, I should say, in 20 years. That might end this year. So, we will talk about the Ravens, Lamar Jackson's team, and where they're going. They made the playoffs last year, lost to the Chargers in the playoffs, made a nice little push. Very rarely do teams trade quarterbacks, veteran to a rookie, and basically, you know, go on to make a push towards the postseason. But that's exactly what they did in Jackson's rookie season. So, even though they lost to the Chargers, remember that game? You remember that game because you're a Chargers fan. But, remember how everybody was like, he was struggling in that game, and they said, well, time to put in Flacco. And they never put in Flacco. And they made a little bit of a comeback. And it was because the offense was so different. The Joe Flacco offense was X, and Lamar Jackson's offense was different, and that's basically why they let Lamar Jackson in there to finish it out. I remember thinking the same thing. I remember like, well, this isn't really working. Why don't we just put, you know, go out and put the veteran back in, see what happens. But they couldn't, because the offense that they designed for Lamar Jackson was for Lamar Jackson. And he did pretty good. Like, they came back in that game, but they didn't have enough to win it. But that'll be we'll talk about the Ravens. That's the other team. There's going to be Pittsburgh. There's going to be Baltimore. Going to be Cleveland. Cincinnati is not expected to do terribly much in that division. But those three teams, you know, if Cleveland is playing well and if Cleveland becomes a team we think they can become second year with Mayfield, the addition of Odell Beckham, then it's going to be a really wild race in that AFC North. Obviously, we'll look at the Steelers and say, okay, the trading of Antonio Brown and getting rid of Antonio Brown, what does that do for them? We know what the absence of Le'Veon Bell meant, because he didn't play at all for them last season. Antonio Brown might be a different sort of subtraction for the Steelers that they may need to figure out a way to overcome. But a lot of, you know, like, this division is interesting because there's always been if you follow a team, whether it's Cincinnati, whether it's Baltimore, whether it's Pittsburgh, you've had this sort of 20 years where the Browns could give you a hard game. Lord knows they've beaten the Steelers enough, but you don't look at that division and see anybody. You don't see a four team race like you sometimes get in the AFC, the NFC East, for example, or you don't see sort of the way a division can turn over, like the NFC West, for example, where San Francisco can win it, and then Seattle has its moments, and now the Rams have their moments, and the Arizona Cardinals just 10 years ago made the Super Bowl, right? You don't see that in the AFC North. The Browns never were in the process. Right, we talk about the AFC East, about how the Patriots just sort of dominated that division, and you know, everybody else was sort of playing for second, maybe trying to make a wild card push. But the AFC North, it was always just a three team race. The Browns were never. There was one year, I should say, 2014 or whatever, was where they made a little bit of a run. They started winning some games. There's a little bit of excitement, but overall, it has never been a division in which they had their turn. A lot of other divisions are like that. I mean, the NFC South is another perfect example of that, right? Where it's been, you know, Tampa Bay has had very limited success, but for the most part, it's the Falcons, it's the Panthers, it's the Saints. But the Browns have always been the kind of the doormat of the division since getting into the league. They made one playoff appearance in 2002. They lost to the Steelers, and other than that, it's just been bad football. But now there's a level of excitement and there's a threat in that division. And that makes this really interesting, because this threat of the Browns can really change how this division has looked. I mean, this is a young, fun, fearless football team going up against a team that's going to have a second-year quarterback just like the Browns in Lamar Jackson, a team that might be in a little bit of offensive transition in the Steelers as they try to, again, figure out without Antonio Brown who's going to draw more coverage. Juju Smith-Schuster benefited from having Brown. Does he benefit without having Brown? I mean, it's hard to picture. But nevertheless, the division is in a little bit of flux. I'm looking forward to this week to see how we break down, you know, everybody on even the Bengals with Zach Taylor as the new head coach. But this one's really up for grabs. All right, again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. These joint practices these teams are doing in training camp, I think, are fun and neat. But I always wonder if there's just trouble brewing.
No, there always is.
Right? All the time. Like, you hear these scuffles all the time. It makes me wonder if it's worth it.
There was a little, what do you call it, tete or coup de tete or whatever. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for.
Right.
But there was one yesterday.
With the Texans and the Packers?
Texans and the Packers.
Yeah, it was the rookie corner.
I'm starting to think that it's always the Texans.
It's true.
Because then the Texans, I mean,
they get one too, yeah.
When they were featured on Hard Knocks, did they get into a little scuffle with the Redskins?
I think they did, yeah.
So I'm going to start blaming the Texans. They can't handle this heat, and they go up, and they're mad because they're in a cooler climate going, this isn't fair.
Right.
How come you guys get this?
It's nice and cool with this
breeze.
Come down
to Houston, where we don't have AC.
Yeah, Lonnie Johnson leveled two hits during a non-tackling session of the workout.
Dummy scrimmage hero.
It's always that. It's always the one guy.
And after like, Green Bay was so nice to them, brought their kids out there, let them take part in the bike
thing. Right.
Which, by the way, did you see J.J. Watt?
J.J. Watt broke a bike.
Broke a bike.
I would have bought that kid 10. Are you kidding me?
He was quick to break it. I mean, to replace it. Like, and, and he's honest. I was kind of amazed by this stat, too, when he said, yeah, these little bikes aren't made for a 290-pound man. I was like,
right.
That's surprising.
Yeah, very surprising. I did not know that. No, I thought you could just ride it all over town and it would be fine.
Got the training wheels off and everything.
So the family, they're going to keep that bike, right? They're not going
to. Oh, yeah.
This is the bike that J.J. Watt destroyed.
Yep. That kid's going to have it in his attic for years and years. Telling his grandkids, Dad or Grandpa, what's that bike?
Well, one of the greatest defensive players in the league rode my bike to practice. And he broke it.
And J.J. Watt looked like a kid. Oh. He looked to be so excited to be doing that.
Oh, he was. I mean, it's kind of a neat tradition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for
plus
him,
being and from he, being he from Wisconsin, there. Right? Being he grew up there, he's probably watched it every year that they did that.
Knows
like,
all
oh,
about
one
it.
Day, one day I'll ride a kid's bike to training camp if I'm so lucky.
You know, and honestly, it is the best tradition I think I've seen as far as showing up to training camp. I know nowadays everyone, we have people showing up in Brinks trucks to hot air balloons, and Packers still do it the old style way. I was like,
yeah, it's pretty cool.
We just ride kids' bikes.
Yeah, it is
pretty
cool. Make
a big parade out of it.
But inevitably, there's always a tussle. There's always a fight. It's hot, right? Everyone wants to make a name for themselves. A
little chippy.
Getting tired of these young kids. Like, oh, yeah, it's prison rules now, huh? I'll clothesline you, knock you to the ground. It's funny, too, because you read the report of what happened with Lonnie Johnson, and like Bill O'Brien is like, yeah, it's no big deal. And like Matt LaFleur is like, that's outrageous. That's unacceptable. That's there's no call for that.
He should be fined immediately.
Bill O'Brien's like, eh, it's nothing. Go to the showers, go leave practice, it's all
but
good.
Flip it. If it was a Packers guy that did that to the Texans, then you have the coaches doing the same exact thing.
Exactly. Freaking out, screaming. God. I wonder if he got some high fives in the locker room when it was all said and done. Hey, way to show up. Way to show up in the non-tackling drill.
Yep, dummy scrimmage
leveling
hero.
A few players. God. All these workouts are always meant to be like camaraderie, but I just, if I was a coach, I don't know why. There's
a
I'm not
fight
a coach.
Every single year.
Yeah, I'm not a coach, so I just never see the value in it. I would just be like, nah, I'm not going to go work out with another team.
Yeah, because you're not sharing plays.
Yeah, you're not doing it. You're not sharing anything. You're not gaining a strategic advantage in your preseason game.
Texas might go out there and say, yes, we're running the triple option. Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Packers line up at a wishbone. Who would have thought that would come back?
And it's dangerous, too, because look, Matt LaFleur was angry, right, that here was this rookie taking some cheap shots, or at least some shots during a non-football. I don't want to say cheap. Maybe they were legit. He thought they were legit and was apropos for the moment. But Matt LaFleur is like, no, that's not acceptable. I can't. Why would you run the risk of that? Like, you can control that on your own team, but you got other people's guys in there that are trying to make a name for themselves. And no, you can make a bigger name for yourself if you go hit another opponent rather than your own guy. Because when you do that in your own camp, it seems stupid, right? If there's a report coming out of training camp, just your own team's practice. The Broncos had this yesterday. Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton got in a fight, the two wide receivers. And everyone's like, is this, Vic Fangio is like, nah, we got to figure that out. That can't happen. We can't allow it. But then there were other veterans who were like, nah, that happens. Position battles, guys getting fights. But it does have a level of looking dumb. But when you do that to somebody else, when you're playing against a team in practice and you hurt another guy in practice that's on the other team, fans can take that as like a badge of honor, right? Like, you did that for, and so that's too risky. If I'm a coach, I don't want anybody near that. I don't need some rookie hotshot trying to make a name for himself going after one of my star corners, or something like that. No, I'd just be like, no, it's too risky. I can control my guys, but I can't control your guys. And so I just wouldn't do it. But inevitably, it's the same thing. Like we said, it's always like a little scuffle. I mean, they're not friends. I mean, they may know each other.
I never understand why they do this.
Yeah.
Is it just because, are you being lazy? This one coach, like, I don't really feel like running drills today. Let that guy do it.
Yeah, and the other thing, you're going to go out in preseason and go do something in preseason. Just don't practice with the team. It's dumb. I don't know. But then again, I might have a coach tell me, no. Listen, this is what we get out of it. This is the benefits. I'll be like, okay. I'll take your word for it. You know, putting the prep together. But it's all lies.
It's all lies.
It's all lies. Exactly. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Good, the bad, and the dumb. It's coming up in 15 minutes. I want to get into some NBA. Ron's let me know an all-decade story and a controversy surrounding the best players over the last 10 years. That's coming up next, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when your battery loses its power, you lose your ability to get out, get around, and get things done. When it's time to replace your battery, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the SuperStart battery that's the exact fit for your vehicle. Whether it's reliable economy, hardworking premium, or powerful extreme, O'Reilly Auto Parts has the SuperStart battery you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So I found this interesting, Ron. You sent this to me earlier. The all-NBA team of the 2010s
yep.
was released. And these are always fun, but they also are controversial. So the first team, this is obviously a great team of Steph Curry, James Harden, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Kawhi Leonard. There's really no argument there, right? These are very good.
I mean, I guess the only one
10-year decade.
Like Kawhi Leonard's came on late.
Very late, right?
But, I mean, he just led a team to an NBA championship, and he was pretty much the last, I mean, aside from last year, or is it 2 years now? Can we say 2 years? Is it 2 years now or last year?
Last year.
His last season with the Spurs, I'll say it that way.
Right.
Where he didn't play at all, but he was the main guy for the Spurs, kept him relevant.
Exactly, and he was a defensive player of the year, et cetera, et cetera. So
So I can see the inclusion of him on the first team.
I could see you moving him out if you want to talk about some of the guys on the second team. Maybe Russell Westbrook, for example, right? But the second team is going to have Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Blake Griffin, and Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony, all right, is on the second team.
Yeah.
All decade. So, yeah.
Mellow.
Okay, Mellow. Okay. I mean, okay, his work with the Knicks is good. He made 8 All-Star appearances.
And he's part of the controversy.
Yeah, he is part of the controversy because the third team has Dwayne Wade, Paul George, LaMarcus Aldridge, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Which, very surprising that Kobe Bryant was the third team. Now, when did Kobe retire?
2016?
Okay, that's still... a good chunk of change in the decade to put his accomplishments near where Carmelo Anthony is, who is just a scorer and only that.
Yeah, that's where the controversy left. I look at it this way. It's like, all right, you know, during the decade, Kobe Bryant definitely faded away.
Right, no doubt.
I mean, even if you read this article, it says Bryant kicked off the 2010s with the finals MVP and 4 straight all-NBA first-team nods. So for almost half the decade, he was top dog.
And then declined rapidly and then retired. Hurt, then retired. Then he was done. Still, the work of the decade, does it hold up against somebody like Carmelo who played most of the decade? I think last year he didn't really land anywhere.
Yeah, I guess that's the argument. For me, if Kobe was on the second team because, you know, and dropping Melo to third team, I'm fine with that. I'm also even looking at Dwayne Wade.
Now, I know Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade's career, I mean, obviously has, you know, fell back in the 2010s as well, but I still think his body of work is better than Melo.
Me too. Same thing. The Melo thing is very troubling because, while, again, I understand. He puts up a lot of points. it doesn't feel as it is important as Dwayne Wade's decade or Kobe Bryant's decade.
Right.
That's maybe ever. Again, and if you're if you're statistically looking at it, sure, Melo averaged 24 points per game, Dwayne Wade averaged 20, but I don't want to look at it that way. I want to look at it as significance, impact all around, and I think Carmelo Anthony as a scorer has been great, but his decade was not.
And you know, and what really did he do for any team he was on?
Right.
That's the other thing. I mean, he was on a Knicks team, now albeit, you know, the Knicks have always been fielding bad teams, but he didn't. You stick any of these guys on that team, and I think you get more wins out of them.
Yeah, to put Carmelo's decade in with Russell Westbrook, like, I'm not saying that there's a level, but they're both on the second team. That's crazy to me. Right, I mean, and the same thing with Blake Griffin. I mean, it just doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, neither one of those guys feel that they really did anything.
Yeah. So who voted for this? Writers?
It's NBA.com, NBA.com, NBA TV writers and hosts and analysts and whoever. I mean, guys who know basketball.
Sure.
We're not just, you know, it's not just some fan who put a random list together or, you know, went to internet polls and
trying
to figure out that way. These, you know, there's a thought process to this, but there is controversy now just because, you know, a lot of people feel that Dwayne Wade and Kobe Bryant should have been second team. And, you know, I mean, yeah, obviously during the 2000s, they were first team.
Sure.
I mean, they have to be, both of them.
No doubt.
But, you know, you do scratch your head a little bit on some of the selection. And mainly it just falls with, like we said, Melo and Griffin. I don't really see them being better than those guys.
Yeah,
at any point in the career.
It's very interesting because, like, the first team is defined by the guys who that you immediately think of when you get to the decade. No doubt there.
I mean, the
only argument you get to the second team is it's guys that did have it felt like still had a good impact as how the decade was defined, right? And then, but so not to have the Wade thing is really should be rectified there, because that decade, when you look at it from the decision of 2010 to the Miami Heat 4 championships winning 2. Dwayne Wade he wasn't a secondary part of that, right? I mean, he was a major part of that. So I don't know. I agree with you. I think he needs to be on the second team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe more than Blake. Maybe even more than Blake.
Yeah. I would just say if you swap
Carmelo,
those two,
definitely, but
with those two, you swap those two and I think you have yourself a perfect list. And
yeah.
There's no arguments. And then then it's like nitpicky argument where you go, you know, maybe switch Kawhi with Russell, but Kawhi has the championship, Russell didn't. You know, I mean, you can just be nitpicky at that and everyone would be fine. It was like, you know, you can 6 of 1, half a dozen of another.
The more I think about it, the more I understand Kobe a bit, but Dwayne is, I would have put Dwayne Wade in the second team. Kobe, I would like to see on the second team because I think he's more impactful than he had more impact on the decade than Carmelo, but the Dwayne Wade omission from that seems to be, and I understand, but he made eight All Stars in the decade.
Yeah,
and I know there was an honorary one because it says including one honorary All Star appearance, but
that
still,
was last. This past season,
still. I mean, that big three era, that's how you look. There's two groups in the last decade, right? There's the Golden State group, and then there's the Miami Heat group.
Yeah.
Right? That's how the last 10 years have really been focused on the NBA. And if you look at the NBA history, this is what makes, you know, basketball finals really interesting. There's not a ton it's not like a free for all, right? Like sometimes you get that with a Super Bowl with all these different teams are in it, all these different teams win it. And sure, the Patriots are, you know, pop up, but they play different opponents, et cetera, et cetera. The NBA, it's like blocks of good teams, right? Here's the Heat this 4 years, winning one, winning two, losing two. Here's Golden State. Here are the Lakers. Here's the Celtics, right? There's all these blocks with the Bulls, especially the Spurs. There's like blocks of teams that are really good. And the big three, even though 2 and 2 in 4 NBA, you can't write the decade without that. And Dwayne Wade wasn't just a passive citizen of that. SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's a Tuesday, so let's start it off.
The good of the day. I'm not going to get political.
Okay.
Every time we talk about this stuff, we always preface that we're not going to get political.
That's right.
But we're not. But my good of the day is Philadelphia Union and former U.S. men's national team star Alejandro Bedoya will not be punished by the MLS for speaking out about gun violence after scoring a goal this past weekend. I don't know if did you catch what he did?
I did. I saw that.
He scored a goal, ran over. Now, in soccer, they have field microphones to kind of pick up the action when the ball is kicked. That's why, sometimes the stadium is quiet. You can hear the little thump every time they kick a ball. And they're pretty good about, obviously, when players are nearby, turning off the sound so that way you don't hear extra chatter, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But he ran over to the microphone, yelled into the microphone, to end gun violence. MLS is taking a stand by not doing anything.
Yeah, that's surprising.
That's fine.
Here's why it's surprising to me. Because these leagues always think big picture, right? So what they do is everyone in the office at the MLS office may have that personal political view, right?
Right.
They all might do that, but there's always going to be that moment of, yep, but we can't have a free for all with the field mics.
Right.
Like we cannot then go, oh my
Spin
God,
it that
games,
way.
All the games are being like everybody now wants to talk about whatever's on their mind and using the field mic to do it because we let this guy get away with it. Now they're going to say, well, I had a view on abortion, or I had a view on immigration, or I had a view on ownership not paying us, or whatever, and you didn't punish that guy, so why are you punishing me for this? But this is pretty cool. I think this is good.
It's different because obviously when you look at political stance in professional sports, the first person you always think of is Kaepernick, and whether or not he was run out of the league or he did it to himself, the NFL did step in at some point and was ready to punish players for taking a knee.
That's right.
And before it even happened, they were ready to take it and making a bigger deal out of it than it needed to be. The MLS is kind of doing the opposite, saying, whether or not we agree with what you're saying, we're gonna be okay with it. Because at this point, we're all very emotional about what's happening over this past weekend.
Yeah, and it has a bad look. I know I know it opens you up for all sorts of, people wanting to do that, but within, 40, maybe 24 hours, right?
Because
the game was
hours.
Sunday. Within 24 hours, even less than that, he makes that statement. It's a bad look for MLS, and then to say, okay, and by the way, he's been suspended two games,
right,
or suspended a game, or fined $50,000 or whatever it is. It doesn't have a good look when you add on to that story. Let that story sit. It let that have a moment, and then don't jump on top of it by saying, oh, and by the way, here's how we're reacting to it.
Right.
So
that's why
I think it's a good move by MLS.
I thought it was I thought it was good for the league of how they handled it. Far different than what we've seen in other sports.
Yeah, and you're also trusting your players. Yeah, exactly. And you're also trusting your players that they won't go, okay, cool, now the field mic is open game for anything I want, right?
Right.
Like that everybody kind of has a respect for that moment in that particular moment in time, and they don't go, okay, now I'm going to use the field mic to promote my, promote my album or promote my merchandise or to make some statement about this or to bring attention to this or whatever. You kind of trust your players that this is going to be a one-time thing, that this was, it felt like somebody just needed to say something and they did. And now we're going to let that just sit and become part of whatever it becomes, whatever it's being viewed as. So just let it sit on its island. So that is a good. All right, what's the bad then?
The bad of the day is, and I found this very funny. Okay, so
I like the bads that are funny.
Maybe I'm a little controversial in my feelings on this, but the Miami Marlins are being forced to apologize for an insensitive tweet.
Oh, I saw this one. Yeah, they are.
So basically what happened over the weekend, they played against the Tampa Bay Rays. The Rays swept them. They started having a little exchange, the social media departments of the Rays and the Marlins, which ended off with the Rays saying, here's the broom we just used on you so you can clean them up. Because the Marlins had made a reference of can't hear you, you know, too many crunching leaves or something like that.
Right, yeah.
And the Marlins responded, you're literally the animal that killed Steve Irvin. Log off. Now, it's very insensitive.
It is, but Steve Irwin.
He would have laughed.
He would have laughed. When did Steve Irwin die?
Long enough.
I'm going to look him up right now. Steve Irwin, I'm going to look it up because I think, I'm not saying you can use celebrity deaths in ways. But
you're saying the statute of limitations has passed.
Yeah, he died in 2006.
Oh, we're fine.
Like, it's not like it happened yesterday.
That was 13 years ago?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, man, I don't want to believe that.
Sure enough, and there it is. There it is. Yeah, born 1962, died 2006, cause of death, stingray attack.
I was about to say 3 years ago, and then I realized we're in a different decade.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time ago.
13 years, that's fine.
You don't have to apologize.
Phil, let it fly. That was funny. That was a great comeback.
Yes.
Because the Rays, you did kill Steve Irwin.
It's very true. That's right. Stingray attack. It says right here, stingray attack as cause of death. Now, I'm trying to remember. I'm looking up really quick. Didn't he try to take the barb out? He got hit.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about his death?
Yeah, I think he got hit in the chest. That's what I remember. And took the full brunt of it. And I don't know if he took the barb out in the water or something, but I know that was the cause of his death. He took a barb straight to the, almost like in the heart.
Okay, here's what it says here. While swimming in chest-deep water, Irwin approached a short-tailed stingray with an approximate span of 2 meters from the rear in order to film it swimming away. According to the incident's only witness, all of a sudden the stingray propped on its front and started stabbing wildly with its tail, hundreds of strikes in a few seconds. Oh, my God, that had to have been terrifying.
Hundred.
Ha! He believed he only had a punctured lung. However, the stingray's barbs pierced his heart, causing him to bleed to death. The stingray's behavior appeared to have been a defensive response to being boxed in. God, that must have been terrifying.
Yeah, that sounds a lot worse than what I thought. I thought he got stung once and was like, oh, that's just unfortunate. But 100 times.
Oh.
It's like Mike Myers in the water.
Yeah, right. Irwin's death is believed to be the only fatality from a stingray that was captured on video. God. But still, 13 years ago?
13 years.
And it may be rude and it may be insensitive, but we do things with celebrity deaths that are different than other deaths. Right? If some mother died, just non-celebrity in the Tampa Bay area, and the Marlins made a reference to that, that might be over the top. But celebrities, right, for whatever reason, we seem to be okay with, after a while, going, yeah, you can use it in that. We someone like, oh, he was blah, 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 like so-and-so,
I just remember, I'm thinking back to Austin Powers when he was going, like, people I know who are dead.
Yeah.
And he's like Jimi Hendrix.
Right, alcohol, right, right.
Or drugs. Yeah. Then he gets down to Mama Cass ham sandwich.
Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. We tend to do that with celebrities. I don't think the Marlins owe an apology at all.
No.
That's silly.
Great comeback.
Great comeback is right.
All right. The dumb of the day. We might have to retire the dumb of the day after this one.
Oh, God. Don't tell me that. This, I like this.
This happened over the weekend.
All right.
DJ Cooper has been suspended by FIBA, which is the International Basketball Association.
Yes.
For 2 years for failing a drug test.
Okay.
Right?
That's dumb. That's dumb.
No, it makes it even dumber is that the test came back showing that he was pregnant.
Okay. So now we're thinking.
Can you guess what happened?
So he failed. Hold on. He failed a drug test using somebody else's urine that was probably a woman he knew.
His girlfriend.
Oh, sweet Lord, really? So his pregnant girlfriend.
Well, they didn't know it at the time.
Congratulations.
Whether he wants to be a daddy or not, he now knows that he's going to be a daddy.
That's awesome. And now, first of all, that's awesome. What a way to find out. What a way. Yeah, okay.
Forget this, you know, gender reveal where you pop a balloon or, you know, do all those type of things. Hit a pinata and see what kind of confetti comes down, what color confetti. This is the best way to find out you're going to be a dad.
That's great. You've been suspended, and congratulations, you're a father. You're going to be a father. God, that's great.
Can you imagine? I mean, just being pulled into that room saying, Mr. Cooper, we need to talk.
God. He used his girlfriend's urine to try to pass a drug test.
Yep.
And she failed.
Well, no, she didn't test positive for drugs.
No, but she was pregnant.
She was pregnant, so she didn't fail.
They knew.
Yeah. Unless, you know, there's some modern miracle going on with DJ Cooper or with, you know, the male genes. Maybe it is, you know, life finds a way scenario with Jeff Goldblum.
Did he do that thing I don't even know if that's still a thing these days, but I remember years ago it was like you would buy like a fake, like a bag that would be put in, like, and then you would go out, they would follow you to the restroom. And then somehow you would be able to. Well, it was called the Wizinator. Wasn't it called the Wizinator? And a Minnesota Viking got in trouble with that.
Maybe they're just a little looser there and he's able to keep it in his pocket.
Maybe so.
And then, you know, they just close the door and say, just take care of it. And he comes out with it in the cup.
God. That's great. Well, that is so. I wonder if he was happy, but ticked.
I wish there was video of him being told that, you failed your drug test.
Like, where is, what's the guy's name, Maury Povich? Where's Maury Povich when
are you kidding? This would be a great you're not the father moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you are the father.
Tests are in. You've been suspended, and you are the father.
God,
what a
That's why I said we might have to retire the I don't know how we can top that.
I
will find a way to top that. We might have peaked and we might drop down a little bit, but we'll get back up to this plateau.
Yeah, that's right. We are at a high. That is a high. Fantastic. That is great. All right, that's the good, that's the bad, and that's the really dumb on a Tuesday. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
You know what's sad, Ron Culver, in a way? Not really sad for a certain group of people, but sad in general. Is that yesterday the Yankees were playing at Camden Yards in Baltimore and they hit 5 home runs, giving them 32 home runs in Baltimore this year, which is just incredible. They hit home runs all over the place, everywhere they go. They had 5 yesterday. Michael Tauchman, who's probably somebody most of you have never heard of, he had 2 home runs. Austin Romine hit a home run. It wasn't even like their big guns were hitting home runs. Like Gary Sanchez didn't hit a home run. And yet, you know, they have a few more injuries that they've got to deal with. But nevertheless, they're an offensive machine. It don't mean squat.
Doesn't.
It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Those Astros are going to roll past them in the playoffs like they are any other team that gets in their way. If you're going to be terrible like the Red Sox, this is the year to be terrible and just figure it out. Because, God, tonight, Zach Greinke is going to make his Astros debut at Minute Maid Park, and they take on the Rockies.
Team he's faced many times and already knows.
That's right.
Perfect coming out party.
He is 13-7. I saw this little tidbit. He is 13-7 in his career against the Rockies. And so he knows them. They know him. But Herman Marquez is getting the start for the Rockies. Get this little stat, too, that I saw. That he is, Marquez is 7-0 against teams from the American League in his career.
Ah, look at you, little stat man.
I know,
right? Stat man action.
Somehow, I just wanted to find out a little bit more about Greinke, getting the start tonight. And then the person who wrote this really nice write up on the game had these really cool stats, and I'm like, those are great. I'll put those into memory. But again, what a year for New York. What a year for the Yankees. You know, Cleveland, any of these teams, don't stand a chance. Don't get your hopes up in the American League. The one team I think could push a series would be the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers could make a series again.
Oh, I think it's going to be we're going to see 2017 revisited.
I think so too. I think it's going to be the Dodgers.
We're going to crash into that.
And that might be decent, cuz you could see a couple of the pitchers, Rua, for example, Walker Buehler. You could see those guys maybe going toe to toe with some of these aces of the Astros.
Kershaw.
Like, you know, Kershaw putting together, how could I forget Kershaw? I brought up Walker Buehler.
Everyone forgets Kershaw in the playoffs. Don't worry, playoffs, you're not the first.
Right. I'm not the first. But still.
Sometimes Kershaw forgets Kershaw in the playoffs.
But I could see them. I could see a couple of those guys going, hey, we're going toe-to-toe with Verlander. It's a scoreless game through six, or it's a 1-0 Astros lead through seven or something. You know, like something like that, where you're trying to get, make it close to get to the bullpen. I could see that. I can't see that with the Yankees. I can't see that with the Yankees at all. I don't think these guys are hitting six home runs a game and all that.
We said this last week. You said it perfectly last week. You might get one game against one of them.
That's right.
You could. In fact, you could get one game against all three of them.
You're not getting another one.
You're not getting a second game against them. They'll figure you out.
Not getting another one.
God, so there was a scary picture the other day. Being based in Houston, I get a lot of Houston Astro feed. There was a video of Verlander kind of showing Greinke, this is how we're spinning the ball here.
Oh, wow.
Just sitting there in the dugout. And everyone, all they want to know is like, why can't we hear what they're saying?
That's great. That is great. Well, that's Major League Baseball. It's going to be interesting.